It would probably go back to where it's like the
Practice. How's that connected? Okay.
And you might have to change it for like the people on the other side. Since it's just sharing your PowerPoint, you might have to reselect what you want to undershare.
Oh, can you do that so that it shares?
That
Yeah.
is it sharing this or this?
That.
That's what we have sharing right
Okay, that's
now.
good.
I
Yeah,
just
that's
need
fine.
to.
Yeah, I can move that over.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Oh, but I'm gonna keep. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to
It's
go to
already unmuted.
that? Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Thankful. So I think it's just something. Yeah, a bit awesome time.
Have a list of barcodes.
Good afternoon. Can everyone hear me? Yes. Okay, great. Are you going to monitor the chat for us? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be great. You can sit up here with us if you. Okay.
But somebody said are you going to go into presenter? I already got
Is it sharing the wrong thing?
It's not sharing the
He
wrong
told
thing.
me
It
it was,
says
he said it was sharing that.
I think it might be sharing that. I'll go get my
Okay,
pink laptop.
let's see. Hold on, we need to change the display for people joining online. And I use a MacBook, so got it. I see.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
Is that better? Perfect. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So Lisa's going to help us monitor the chat. And we do have plenty of time for this session, so feel free to raise your hand if you have a question. And then we'll have questions, time for questions at the end as well. Thank you. And then before we jump in, just a quick co-presenters, Gregory is not able to be here. He got a cool new position at EBSCO working with AI and linked data, so he's on to other things for now. So it's just Alvaro and myself today. To give some quick introductions, if we haven't met, my name is Gloria Gonzalez, and I am the Senior Product Manager for Linked Data Innovation at EBSCO. I work across a few different areas, and Folio is one of them. And with the Folio team specifically, I collaborate with Alvaro Lopez, who is the product owner for Team Citation. Shout out to EPAM, we love working with Team Citation. And some of you also may have met Doug. He was previously the product owner for Team Citation, and now he's moved into a position to focus on launching our new linked data features. And then we have PK Jacob, who is our team lead for Team Citation. And shout out to PK because he helped put this presentation together for all of you today. So what we'll cover.
I'm so sorry.
Go ahead.
In the chat, people are saying the sound's fuzzy.
I heard the sound was bad in this room earlier. It was better. Like, is this better? Testing, testing. Okay, great. Yeah. That was too close. All right. Thank you. So what we're going to cover today is a quick introduction to linked data. For those of you who are not familiar, we don't want to make any assumptions here. We'll talk about the foundations of Folio's data graph. We'll cover interoperability with other Folio modules that we've integrated. We'll go into detail about each API endpoint that we've added for Folio linked data. And then I'd like to have a conversation with you all about what systems you'd like to connect to. We've heard a lot, but we want to get more details and also figure out what our next priority should be. And then we'll wrap up with some next steps and explain how you all can get involved in this work. So for the quick introduction to linked data, Alvaro is going to cover that.
Okay. Hi. Yeah. Okay. Hi. Connect information on the web. So it can be shared and used. And what is the time it's to link or kind of information So this implies that it allows for extra metadata link. That's what to suggest a lot of different things. And that's because there's a
so sorry. Everyone online,
yeah.
Possible here. Maybe step back a little.
Okay.
Like tall, I know.
Yeah, I will try. Okay, I'm a little. Can you hear me now?
Me?
Yeah. Over there? Which one? The one?
Yeah, you can go and see.
All right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, I'll keep going. All right, so as I was saying, this allows for extra metadata layers. Meaning that if you are looking for, say, I don't know, plus his name, like I don't know, the style he used, the kind of artistic current he belonged to, and a lot of stuff that can be added. Okay, so as from that, it uses util identifiers, basically URIs, and they look like URIs. So you must be seeing URLs. The idea here is that information has to be precise. So there's one URL to one resource. This is great for authorities because this allows a unique ID for every resource. It can be a name, it can be a picture, it can be anything you So it also allows different data sets to talk to each other. So you can link your catalog with a repository, with Wikipedia, with DVPedia, with whatever you want. And this is compatible with different data machine with engines and apps. And basically, it uses XML and JSON-RD to communicate. So if your catalog or your system is compatible with XML or JSON-RD, it will be able to share information with other systems that works with linked data. And well, nowadays, Google, Amazon, Netflix, all of them use linked data. So that's it.
Thank you. I'm going to go back to this mic, and then you can let me know if there are any issues. Thank you. All right, so moving into an overview of Folio's new editor. So just a personal note, this is a very exciting milestone because I've worked with linked data for about 14 or 15 years. And while it may seem new to the library industry, it's widely adopted, as Alvaro was talking about, across many other different services and platforms. And when I first started to learn about linked data and teach people, we always imagined that when we were successful, you would be able to have systems and not have to know what linked data is to use them. It would be baked inside. And so with Folio's new linked data editor, you can pick it up and start using it without learning all of the nitty-gritty details of what linked data is or what BibFrame is. And so that will help adoption, and it also helps meet the needs of libraries that are of all different sizes and all different learning levels. So if you want to see what the editor looks like, there's a session after this one in the same room, and Alvaro is going to jump into a live demo if you'd like to see the interface. But we worked together with EBSCO's user experience department, and we did many different studies to understand what challenges exist in current MARC editors. And we also reviewed the usability of other linked data editors. And so together with that research, we were able to design a totally new interface that's a new module in Folio. This is available with the Sunflower release, and we'll talk about how you can get access later on. But in addition to this intuitive interface, it syncs with inventory. So you can enter the editor through inventory, and everything that you create with the linked data editor also automatically creates MARC, because we know that many different library systems still rely on MARC. So once you pull something in to edit, you can save it. It automatically creates a parallel MARC record in SRS storage, and then you have it both ways. There is one caveat, which is if you edit something with the editor, you can no longer edit with Quick MARC. It makes it exclusive to the linked data editor only. And we made that design decision to really encourage more people to start using the editor instead of falling back on the MARC, which they may be more comfortable with at the beginning. And it also does automatic linking to authorities in the authority app if there are Library of Congress authority IDs. It doesn't have to be a full URL in the MARC record. If there's any LCNAF ID, for example, once you pull that MARC record into the editor, it will automatically sync with the authority app. So once we've designed the app, we started to get some feedback, and Doug Loins led an initiative to see what people thought, and it was great to get this in front of catalogers. One of our favorite comments was somebody said it feels like a massage for their brain. So you'll notice a lot less scrolling, and people can pick it up and start to create new descriptions without necessarily knowing all the intricacies of different MARC fields and subfields. So taking a step back from the editor, here's a diagram of what that ecosystem looks like in inside Folio. So for those of you who are familiar with inventory, that's a schema in Postgres. You can think of this as a parallel schema in Postgres. And I'll talk more about our decision behind that approach, but our editor uses APIs to talk to that new data graph storage. And then that storage layer can derive MARC automatically and sync with inventory, as I explained before. And then all of the other mechanisms with Folio continue to operate as they did previously. I'll pause here. Any questions about this design? Yes.
I think I need the mic in order so people can hear me.
Yeah, that's right.
So, once you've edited the record with the editor, you can no longer use QuickMark to edit the MARC. Are you still able to interface with the record in inventory via, you know, are you able to edit the instance record, et cetera, using inventory?
Okay. Interact with it, and because of the holdings and items and whatever, the things that you can't edit, write on or MARC, but also you can see the MARC. When you get into the editor, you have an option where you can see the MARC that it was created from the resource, and also you can export the MARC. So you never lose that kind of information. It behaves normally because as it said, it's connected with inventory. So the information is available.
All right, they fiddled with the sound, so hopefully it's a little better. So here's some background on that data graph approach that we took to Folio. So I worked for a startup company called Zafira that focused on linked data. And in our early days, we created a novel approach, or it was novel at that time, to start using a Postgres database with a linked data model. And we did this for a few reasons. One, because traditional triple stores, which are used for linked data, aren't great at scaling, and they were very costly at that time. So we were able to create this new approach with an ontology inside of Postgres that allows a relational database to act as a graph. And so we continue to use this today with a product called Bibliograph, but we were able to make the approach open source with the development that we've done in Folio, which was generously funded by the Library of Congress. I mentioned some benefits about performance and scalability. Cost, I would say, is the biggest one. It makes storage a lot cheaper than if you were to integrate a triple store. And then because we have made the vocabulary open, it's fully interoperable with BibFrame and other ontologies like schema.org. So you can use those as exchange formats and pull those in and send those out of Folio. So the build vocabulary, you may have heard it called BibFrame Lite previously. We've renamed it, and the documentation is available at this website. But it's designed with different extensions that can be contributed to by different communities. So the most active extension right now is called Build Scholar, and we're using that to describe EBSCO researchers and articles and the relationships between them at EBSCO. So this is in the public domain, and anybody can contribute through GitHub. I'll show you what a contribution looks like in just a moment. But it's already adopted in practice at EBSCO across a few different things, including Folio, the Scholarly Graph, and Bibliograph. But this was not meant to be proprietary at all, and we would love to encourage more community adoption. And we even encourage other service providers to use this vocabulary as well, because the more the merrier, and it makes it more sustainable if other people are reusing it as well. So here's a quick peek into what the actual GitHub file looks like. This is a format called Turtle. So you just define new terms, classes, and properties in those files, and you submit a merge request, which we'll review, and then we can add new things. The part of the vocabulary that's used for Folio is very stable. We only make changes to those things when the Library of Congress adjusts BibFrame. We make sure that it's aligned with the latest version. The most new extensions are for special collections and for scholarship. So those are being actively updated day by day as we come across new use cases. And I've included a link to the GitHub repository there. So now to quickly cover interoperability between Datagraph, the Linked Data Editor, and other modules. Our colleague Doug Loins put this table together. I'll make a note that this is just the current interoperability, and our long-term goal is to make the editor interoperable with as many apps as possible, anything that wants to connect and use that data. I do think perhaps the orders app will be the next one along with import and export, but it just depends on what's prioritized by the community. So the interoperability with inventory, that goes back and forth, as I explained. And so that's bi-directional. And then for authorities, that's just one way for now, but we will be expanding that to bi-directional interoperability. And then for data export and import, we do have indirect interoperability, but that's only through MARC currently. We are designing our approach to import and export right now. So that's in progress. We've started to create what we call a thin thread to import and export, but those API endpoints are outside of the import and export modules. And that's just so that we could get started with something quickly. All right, so now I'm going to go through the APIs, and I'll put a link to the slide deck in the Zoom chat. Actually, can you link, or can you do that? Are you on the Zoom chat? We'll make sure that you have this, because it's just API endpoints that you'll need. So the first one is an endpoint to export MARC from the graph. And so this is available in the Sunflower release, and it allows for inventory and data export ingestion. And then just as a note, I have a slide that links to all of the GitHub repositories as well. So the next one is what imports a MARC record into the graph. And so this does transformation on the fly. You import into the graph, and then you have your linked data resources. And this one's also available in Sunflower. I'll note that this only supports monograph and serial instances for now, but we'll be expanding to other formats. And the editor itself you can use with monographs, rare books, and serials, and will also be extended to other formats. So then you can view any source. This one's pretty basic. The right now the endpoint returns JSON LD format. So you put in a specific resource ID, and then you can get back that description. That's also available in Sunflower. So I'm going through all of the things that we've already built, and then I'll talk about what's in progress now. But we've already finished another endpoint that will be available in Trillium, and this one is the BibFrame to RDF export thin thread. So this is that API endpoint I mentioned, that if you want to get BibFrame for a specific resource, you can do this with this endpoint. And then you can also import BibFrame as well. So for example, I think I was talking to somebody at Spokane Public Library. You can do a kind of copy cataloging workflow where if you go to any open BibFrame data like id.loc.gov, you can get that RDF and you can import it using this endpoint. It does work with up to about 100 instances, and it's available in Trillium. So now a few APIs that we have in progress. We're working on the bulk import and export, and we're looking to make this work in the millions. We are interested in hearing a variety of use cases as to why people want to import and export this much data, so that we make sure we're not just making things that work for only specific libraries. So we would love to hear from you on that. Here's my slide with the link to every GitHub repository that you would need to learn more. And then in addition to the import and export, which is in that work is happening right now, we're also building an API to sync with external data sources. So we really want to make sure that we're building a sustainable ecosystem. You don't have to manually update your data, and that can happen automatically behind the scenes. And then we're working on support for authority editing as well. Okay, so I have, I was inspired by this morning's talk because I wanted to ask this question, but I made an actual website for it. If anybody wants to reply online, you can go to that domain, but let me pull this up here. I got it. I think so. Now I want to, to put the link into the Zoom. Okay. So we're curious, looking ahead, what new systems or platforms would you want your Folio instance to connect to in order to share linked data? See, I'm going to put this in chat. No, I can't because I use a... I didn't copy it. There we go. It's so embarrassing to be a MacBook user at conferences because I should just do like some annual practice on Windows. Thank you. And then, okay, I'll put this here so we can see. Oh, this is the result. This is a submission, not results. Okay. But it would be great if you actually do put your responses into that chat so that we can record which ones are most frequent. But for those of you who are here in person, any ideas on systems or platforms that you would like to connect to? Bluecore. We heard Bluecore from Alvaro. Raise your hand if you want to connect to Bluecore.
I was only one of the submissions.
Okay. Got it. Anybody else who is familiar with Bluecore? It is an open data source. Okay, cool. So we primarily focused on integration with Library of Congress data. So out of the box, you will have integration with the id.loc.gov. Any other platforms or systems that you would want to connect to? ShareVDE. Okay, great. That's a good one. Wikidata. That's awesome. Okay. Does anybody use Vivo by chance? We've heard from libraries in South America that they're interested in sending authority data to Vivo from Folio. So that was an interesting one. Okay. Any other ideas? Anything about digital repositories? Is that of interest? Okay. Special collections, archives. Got nothing. Okay. All right, we're going to leave that survey up and we're going to move it to a few more audiences because we are working on the roadmap for what comes next. This initial round of development was all funded by Library of Congress, but we're looking for new use cases to help share data, and that's specifically outside of EBSCO-specific things. We really want to make sure that we're connecting to as much as possible. And we'll be going to the linked data SIG for input, as well as the metadata management SIG for input on those priorities. All right, back to the presentation. DSpace. Oh, I heard of DSpace? Really? Okay, good. That's the second time I heard DSpace since I've been in this conference. Islandora? That's an interesting one. Okay, great. Okay, so before we wrap up, I just wanted to say thank you to the Library of Congress and to all of the libraries that have been giving us input so far. I won't go through all of these, but I'll just give you an idea of the libraries that we've been talking to. We've really focused on working with people who use different service providers, who self-host. We want to make sure that this ecosystem doesn't just work for people who are hosted by EBSCO. And then we are also excited to work with really forward-thinking libraries that are kind of pushing us past our own thinking, like the National Library of Sweden, who is always asking us for as many API endpoints as possible, which I agree with. If you want to get involved, you can reach out to start learning about how you can test. You can talk to Alvaro or Doug Loins. And then if you host with EBSCO with the Sunflower release, when you upgrade, you can request to have the editor added. And that's because with Sunflower, it's still in the demo version. But with Trillium, it will be in production. So you won't have to ask for it. It will just automatically be included. And then if you don't host with us, we're still happy to help you get set up. For example, Spokane Public Library works with Index Data, and we had them, we helped them set up a testing environment to give us feedback. So there really are no limitations on who can give feedback. We're also working with students who don't even have access to Folio. We got permission to keep the Bugfest environment for Sunflower up and running. So you can get that login information and jump into the editor in the Sunflower Bugfest as well. And then just a quick note, when you do get Trillium, eventually, all you'll have to do is update your roles and then everything will be activated. If you have any questions about the API endpoints that I covered, you can talk to PK Jacob. And then if you have questions about the editor, you can either stay for Alvaro's session later this afternoon or send him an email. Thank you. So we still have plenty of time for questions or conversation. Yes, Tom. Chat.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentations. Is the bib frame or is the linked data being produced by individual libraries, say Library of Congress or others, on Sunflower or Trillium publicly visible by default? Does it take some sort of explicit action? How can you get to someone else's bib frame?
We're working on figuring that part out right now. Ideally, you should be able to search ahead within the editor and get access to any data that you can configure yourself. So that's that piece about what we're working on for syncing with external sources. But you can imagine, just like you can with any LC authority right now, just start typing and then select your resource and then add it.
And so when you're syncing, that's not only doing import from external authorities, but also pushing from Folio?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And really, any Folio library that wants to share their data should be able to under the right kind of licenses. So you can imagine kind of like a networked family of Folios that can share depending on what kind of data they have. I've heard rumors because we work with other development teams at EBSCO, and so we're also teaching our colleagues about this work, and so as they learn more, it seems like after import and export orders could be next, but I'll ask Dennis if he has anything to add.
Awesome, thank you.
Nothing? Okay.
Do you have any plans for handling sort of interoperability? Because right now, let's say when Trillium comes out, everyone's going to be running presumably Trillium, they start using this stuff. But then as we progress, maybe some are running future releases and some are still on Trillium. Do you foresee any sort of interoperability problems with sharing those resources you were mentioning earlier?
Well, that's really why we left that piece for last, because we wanted to make sure that we were in production before we start adding it. And that's also really not necessarily in the scope of our original work with Library of Congress. That's just something that we'd like to do next. So we needed to finish all of that first. But when it comes to interoperability, no issues have been raised to me specifically, but I'd love to collaborate with you on that to make sure that we're getting ahead of any potential issues.
Yeah, thank you. Is the Frank's very responsible.
I guess I'm responsible and turned off the microphone. Is the work following the thread for interoperability, is that happening in the Folio SIG? Because there was an entity management SIG, which is now a linked data SIG.
Yeah, that's now called the linked data SIG.
Is that the place to go to?
Yes. Yeah. If you want to get updates, if you want to give us input, if you want to collaborate with us, that's the best place to start. Just a question from chat. Somebody asked to go back a few slides to the important URLs. Sure, going back to those links now. Another chat question. When might we expect to see mapping directly from linked data to inventory without being converted through MARC? When is a fun question without being converted to MARC? Let's see. I'll say that a rough shot in the dark. Let's say when you hear from us at WolfCon next year. But we have a lot of work to do before we get there. And so I can't give like a concrete timeline, but we're heading in that direction.
Yeah, I want to add that involves exposing the notes, and that is a work that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. That implies some refactoring inside the linked data editor. So yeah, I agree with you with that time frame.
Okay, that makes me feel better that he doesn't think I'm crazy for saying 1 year. But this kind of reminds me of a continuing thread. We had a pre-workshop about linked data on Monday, and I've heard this come up several times during this conference about how there are so many benefits from Foley, being JSON-based, but ultimately it ended up being designed around MARC maybe more than originally intended. So this work now is kind of starting to unravel some of that so that libraries don't have to rely on that older format.
Can I cross the streams here, having been to the Eureka presentation right before lunch? How is this going to be Folio standard functionality, or how does this relate to the notion of applications? The library have this, or only those who choose this in the, I don't have the language, and I'm not going to say a bad term, the set of applications that they choose to locally install.
So with Sunflower, you have to opt in, and then with Trillium, it's included out of the box. I could see that changing in the future as we get more further into this new Eureka world. But what makes me excited about Eureka is that we want to move faster than the traditional Folio roadmap, and we want to do releases to the editor and to our modules at any time. I would love to be the first team to do that. We'll see. It's something that we're going to start moving on when we get back home. So that is a great benefit to those who start to use the app. They can get new features faster.
So how can a library transition to using linked data? Is it just a matter of starting in the editor in Sunflower?
Yeah, that's definitely a first start. And so that helps staff who works on cataloging to learn about linked data. And then you can start to import and export BibFrame. But really, it depends on what you want to use it for. So if you want to use it to improve discovery, for example, then you would need to advocate to your discovery platform or provider or open source group that they would need to start using linked data. So that's also kind of like the next phase, because you can start to edit and store linked data in Folio. But now we need to start connecting to more things to share that data.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Chat.
A chat question. Could you elaborate a little more on the build vocabulary? What were some of the functional operational reasons for creating a new vocabulary? Yeah, that's a great question. So the original reason why that new vocabulary was created was because when we were a startup company, Zafira had to move pretty fast. And so we wanted to experiment, and we were collaborating with Google at that time to create a borrow action so that libraries could show up in Google search. So we needed to extend it to match schema.org. Then that evolved to other communities wanting to use linked data that their use cases didn't fit BibFrame. So the American Antiquarian Society is an example of that, and they used build to describe the early print trade. And then most recently, We're looking to go beyond just bibliographic description. So BibFrame as an interoperability standard works with Folio. We can bring it in and we can put it out. But in Folio, we're going to start working with things like items, holdings, archives that aren't necessarily within the scope of BibFrame. So BibFrame is great. It has many different use cases, but Folio goes beyond that as well as other systems. So that's why we that's another reason why we have build as well. And then I mentioned schema.org earlier. With build, it's mapped to multiple schemas. So if you want to put out schema.org for a specific reason, you can do that as well. So it just helps to connect to a variety of vocabularies. I think there's one more question in the chat. See if I can read it.
Okay, it's a follow up. Sorry.
So good. This is a follow up on that question. If you have time, do you foresee moving to using the inventory module directly might replace build? Moving to using the inventory module directly might replace build. Or do you anticipate keeping both for some of the interoperability and mapping for reasons you mentioned? Thanks.
I think for the near future, inventory and data graph will coexist. But if there is motivation to maybe have like less reliance on Mark or other improvements to Folio architecture, I think data graph is a suitable alternative to that. Does that make sense? Okay. Great. Any other questions? Thank you for joining us.
Class.